Welcome to the My Crazy Office Podcast with the authors of Working With You Is Killing Me, Working For You Isn't Working For Me, and Mean Girls at Work, Kathy Elster and Katherine Crowley. They are committed to helping you navigate the hardest part of any job, the people. And now, here are Kathy and Katherine.
Hi, everyone. I'm Kathy Elster.
And I'm Katherine Crowley, and welcome to My Crazy Office.
And today we want to welcome our guest, comedian Jess Tom, who we heard at the Gotham Comedy Club.
She's
and we
fantastic.
Were both like, okay, get her in. You were so you were so funny.
Thank you.
So how can people find out about you?
So you can look me up on my website, which is www.jesstomdotcom.com. That's JESTOMDOTCOM.com. So wrap your tongue around that one.
we'll have it in the mail or anywhere when we send it out. We'll have a link for you. Are you going to be at Gotham or any other comedy clubs soon?
I'm starting to do more club shows these days. Hopefully I'm going to be doing a show, I believe, on July 25th at Broadway Comedy Club. I'm not totally sure about that, though. That might be a lie.
Okay.
But I have, if you check out my website.
Tom.com.com.
All of that information is going to be there and on my Facebook and Twitter, which are also under my name.
Great. Ooh. Thanks. All right. So, Logan, let's get to our first question.
I work in the customer service department of my company, but my office is in the billing department. I can overhear what they're doing, and I have learned that we overbill our customers as a business practice.
Ooh.
If the customer pays the bills, we are rewarded with office perks like pizza lunch on Fridays. If the customer challenges the overbilling, we say, oh, that's our mistake. We will correct that immediately. Is that normal, or should I look for another job?
You know, it is kind of normal. It is kind of normal,
really?
Unfortunately. Well, it's not normal.
Dishonest.
Right. Well,
is.
It's not normal to know that companies are doing that usually.
Yeah.
But it's not, unfortunately. There's a lot of unethical behavior. Oh, Jess, you seem like you know this.
I mean, my question is, how much does this person like pizza?
Well, I was thinking the same thing. Actually, I'm allergic to dairy, and I would be furious if.
See, I'm lactose intolerant, but
I love pizza.
Uh-huh. So I would, I mean, a pizza lunch is a pretty big perk for me.
That's an incentive. So it's okay for you?
I mean, I think it's kind of evil.
Yeah.
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 But if it's common and you're getting pizza out of it, I'm not totally sure where that falls on the moral spectrum.
Yeah, see, that's why companies get away with it. See, Catherine's really anti.
Well,
no, it's terrible.
I mean, I was a nun in my past incarnation, so I have a very averse reaction to this kind of thing. But, however, as you said, it is in a way a normal, unethical practice. I was thinking this is sort of like the auto repair shops that they follow at various TV undercover things where they show that some shops actually break something in your car and then charge you for fixing it. And there's no way, you know, it's very hard to detect if you don't know all about auto bodies.
Yeah. I mean, I think there's so much room for unethical behavior in business that it happens all the time and you don't notice it.
Yeah.
And that's why, I mean, how many mistakes do the banks make?
Yeah.
You know, they're constantly making mistakes. I mean, and was it a mistake? Who knows? Because it happens so often. There's, you know, you have to really be on top of where your money's going.
So for this person, though,
what
two questions. Is that normal?
No.
Or should I look for another job? What would you say, Jess?
I mean, looking for another job that gives you free pizza. I'm really caught
just
on
for
that.
Lying.
I know. If I could get pizza every time I lied, that I'd probably be a much more dishonest person.
See, that's
the problem.
In a way, why this company can do it, the employees are behind it. Now, I think if you feel you're working for an unethical company, then you can't work there.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Then you have to look for another job. I mean, I've been in this situation, and I knew I had to leave.
You did?
Oh, yeah. I would work for a company that was unethical. And I had to, the minute I understood that, I had to leave.
Right.
I mean, this is cultural, so.
Right. That's right. You're not going to fix it. You can't be a vigilante and make everyone start telling the truth or start waving the bills in the air towards the customer and tell them the real story. you won't keep your job.
I mean, there's a lot of unethical behavior. This is a great topic that we, you know, we don't have enough time.
Yeah.
But just, you know, should you be a whistleblower? Also, there's a lot of questions about this, what you should do. But basically, if you're working for a company that's unethical and it bothers you, you got to go.
Yes. Or you'll feel sick all the time.
Yeah. I think you would feel awful. Mm-hmm. And there's grades to unethical. You know, like people have they have like, you know, a different tolerance.
Yes.
It's interesting. You know, not every, you know.
Well, my God. I mean, Enron and many other corporations, there can be an agreement, right? You can slowly erode the moral code of anything,
really, if
you just convince each other that it's okay.
Right. And, you know, what is unethical to one person is perfectly normal to the next. Yeah. You know, there's really unethical behavior, there's really no laws about it. There's standards, but,
yeah,
you know, this kind of stuff happens. So, all right. Oh, yeah, I know. I don't like talking about it either. All right. Let's just go to the next question.
I just want everyone to figure that one out on their own.
Exactly. I have a new job in a public relations firm. I really like the work I'm doing. In PR, we have many social events to go to. In this new job, everyone brings their significant others to these events. In previous jobs, that was frowned upon. I'm not comfortable bringing my partner to my business events. I do not think it's anyone's business to know my partner. How do I gracefully get out of this without looking odd?
Ooh.
Yeah, that's uncomfortable. That's really uncomfortable. I mean, I don't really get that, why it's sort of mandatory.
Yes. Well, again, using the term you use, it's a cultural.
Well, they're saying that it's kind of standard that
for this company,
right?
Right. That's part of this company's culture. We bring our mates.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That is kind of complicated. Well, I mean, I work at a sex shop.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
So, I mean, it's hard for me to tell what looks odd at a work social event, because honestly, I could bring a partner wearing a full body latex outfit and a leather dog head on a leash, and everybody would be like, great, good, you're here.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, right, okay.
But I think actually that's a really good point. It has to do with the company that you're in, right?
Absolutely.
And I think the scary thing, perhaps for someone who's feeling more private about their personal life, is they don't know. Well, one thing is they may just want that privacy. It's a boundary thing. But also they may fear being judged if they brought someone in a latex suit with a, what was it?
With a leather dog head.
Leather dog
head. And a leash. You know, you should dress for the event.
Right, you do have to dress for the event. No, but I think this is a personal boundary issue. And my question also is if culturally this is the organization, there may be other things you don't like about the company.
Yeah.
They just might be a company that's not a good cultural fit for you.
Yeah.
I don't know, but that's something you have to ask yourself. I would not
Are they overbilling is one of the next
Well, they probably are.
And is there pizza at these social events?
Yes. Yes.
What were you saying, Kathy?
Well, I think companies that do this, they consider these events to be perks.
Uh-huh.
So therefore you get to bring your significant other, you get a free drink, you get a free dinner, you get to go away, and I'm thinking of some of our clients that do that. They allow significant others to come. But then everybody does know your personal life, and then they get to buddy up to your partner. And what if that partner is temporary? Yeah, the whole thing to me is really none of their business.
Well, honestly,
that's a good point.
But can you say, like, for example, my partner, who's a wonderful person, does not like socializing, would not want to go to these events. So if I knew, okay, look, my husband doesn't want to come, is there a way that one could say that? You're always good at saying things tactfully, Kathy.
Well, see, I think if everybody does it and that's what's accepted, you might be very uncomfortable working for that kind of a company.
Right, no matter what.
Right, so we just went to a social event and I brought my husband. Were you uncomfortable that
I didn't bring Cliff?
Yeah.
No.
You didn't feel like a third wheel?
No, but you know, here's another thing. This is giving everyone much more information than they need. I was single for so long that I went to everything by myself. Mm-hmm. And actually, that was one of my questions with this, is if you're a single person and you work for this company and they say, bring your partner, you're going to bring your dog or, you know.
This is my cat, Mr. Fluffy.
Also,
my fish.
What if your partner is private? Like, what if you're experimenting or you maybe have a lifestyle that you really don't want anyone else to know?
Yeah.
You know, that's problematic to me. So in a way, this company is probably not very big.
Yeah.
Is assuming that everybody is heterosexual, I think, right?
Yeah. Or has only one partner.
Wow.
You're right.
I wish we had like some button I could press to like
ding,
sound
ding.
Effects.
Ding, yeah. Ding. Like. Yeah, that's really true. So, yeah. I mean, as the world is moving towards everybody being honest, this is a little,
you know, I still think there could be some wiggle room, because what she's saying, or he's saying, whoever it is, they're saying, in this new job, everyone brings their significant others to these events. So it's not, that's what they do. I actually think you could probably approach your boss or the head of the company and just say, I notice that this is a practice, but chances are I wouldn't be doing this. Is it problematic?
Mm. Yeah. Well, yeah.
And it's not written in the policy.
And I'm thinking about, I have friends that don't have a significant other and they don't feel too good about that right now.
Right.
So how would that feel? So it is kind of odd.
Are they doing like three-legged wrestling? Why do they? No, races. Whoa, I don't know what three-legged wrestling would be.
But races, like, they wrestle after they race.
Exactly.
So at your
takes
job,
two to tango.
At your job at the sex shop, do they have events that you would go to?
Yeah, we do have events and parties actually, but there's no sort of protocol. For who gets brought, who comes along. We actually did have an event that was like a bring a plus one thing.
Yeah.
But again, it was like people wearing assless chaps and really the leather dog head went around. It wasn't really something where people where my boss might be like, this isn't what I was expecting. I think this is entirely inappropriate for this situation.
You're not being normal here.
I know, exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. So my view is a little bit skewed.
Yeah, I think it is.
All right, so Kathy, you're saying get out. Chances are...
Well, I think if this is socially... look, PR is very social, and there's a lot of events.
Yeah.
And if this is socially, you're uncomfortable with it, there's probably more than that you're uncomfortable with. I just suspect.
So that's your take. I think that may be true. At the same time, I would say, see if it's okay to just say, I'm going to be not a plus one, that I'll be coming on my own, and see what happens before you quit.
See, I see so many problems here. I feel like, I don't know if this is a man or a woman, but when you go alone and everyone else is coupled, if you talk to somebody else's significant other, you may be perceived as going after. I just see problems with this whole thing.
I don't. And maybe that's
you don't watch The Housewives.
You don't watch
all of The Housewives on Bravo. And that's what happens.
When people in the offices start talking about you,
all
like so-and-so
are in
was talking to so-and-so's wife at the event last night.
Look, if you're in PR, you're probably having affairs anyway, aren't you? I mean, come on.
Well, so anyway, I think, yeah. So you have to do what Catherine says. You have to, ask and see if
give it a shot, see what happens. And you're right. Keep an eye open to see if this one particular practice is really just alerting you of many things that may not be a good match.
Right.
And would you get penalized for just not going at all?
Oh, totally.
Yes. In PR, you totally would.
Wow. Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
Because it's a social
It's an event industry. Yeah, it's all about these events. But it's not the only one. There's other industries, like in fashion, there's other industries where there are events that you have to go to. We have to go to business events.
On occasion, yes.
Yeah, but we rarely.
Maybe you just need to get like a partner decoy.
Well, there's
there.
That. Wait, what does your mother call it in Florida?
A suit.
Escort.
A suit.
Suits.
Is that what it's called?
Yeah. For the women, because it's older women and many of their husbands have passed away. And so there are these sort of dandy guys who are available. Not, you don't rent them exactly, but that's what they call them. Empty suits.
Oh, I meant
that's
like a friend.
Yeah, a friend. Bring your sister, but they don't have to know.
Right.
Wasn't there a movie like that with Deborah Messenger?
Yes.
Yes. What was it called?
I can't remember.
She rented this escort to piss off her sister. Anyway, it was a very good movie.
Did it work?
Well, she ended up falling
in
love with him.
Of course.
It was a chick flick. Anyway, back to the workplace.
All right, so good luck with your job.
After all that, good luck.
A friend or a mannequin.
Yeah, exactly.
A blow up
doll.
That's right. You said if you need one, go to
and
Just
see
Tom's shop.
They won't ask you to bring your partner again.
They'll never ask again if you bring. That's true.
Right.
That is quite an interesting idea. Do you sell those at your shop?
Well, I mean, blow-up dolls are a little passe.
How can they be out?
The technology has advanced such that the idea of an inflatable sex doll is not really that appealing to people anymore. Mm.
Okay, what am I missing? What's the next level?
So, I mean, there are like $10,000 sex dolls that you can get from like Japan. We don't have anything like that, but yeah, we do have sort of this cyber skin, which is this soft, realistic material, like butt mm-hmm. and genitals set that essentially serves the same purpose as a blow-up doll would, but it's just like part of it, and it doesn't take up as much space and feels a lot less like a water wing.
So it's like having an iPhone instead of a whole computer. Just it does what you need it to do.
Sort of. If an iPhone was an extremely heavy butt
sex toy
that you had to hide from your children somewhere.
Yeah, yeah. And from everyone else.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, anyway, so I think that's it for this segment, Jess. Yes. People can find you on your website.
I'm also on Facebook and Twitter. If you search Jess Tom, that's JESTOM, I'll pop right up.
Beautiful. Thank you for being our guest today.
Thank you guys for having me.
Thanks so much. And join us next time for another My Crazy Office podcast. And don't forget to send your questions and your stories to info@mycrazyoffice.co.
Join us next time for another My Crazy Office podcast. And don't forget to send your questions to info@mycrazyoffice.co.